Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Where are we? Are we in L.A.?
No, we're in North Dakota. And only those passengers deemed fit to fly will go on to Los Angeles. And you're not one of them.
Wanna fly, fly, fly. Can I vibe, vibe, vibe on it?
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along. Captain Dennis. And from AOPA, we have Colin Stagnito on. Now, he's telling us his story about how he got into some IFR weather in a non-IFR airplane. It was not equipped to do that. And it looked like you were flying into like a cloud sandwich.
That's exactly right. The worst kind of sandwich.
From the top and the bottom, and then the alerts go off, and you hear the warning, obstacle, and you're like, where? And it's like, you know. So are you yelling out at this time, or are you just like internalizing all this and like, okay, I got to make a smart decision here, or
yeah,
what?
I would say I'm internalizing it. The palms are starting to get sweaty. Probably the heart rate goes up a little bit. I turn around. Things are no better behind me. And but I think I still had the airport that I didn't know what it was at the time in sight. The runway is 400 foot wide. I didn't
right.
know.
Before even I can land on this thing.
Yeah, and I don't know how long it was. It seemed like it was at least a mile long. Yes, I could land a Cessna 140 on that. So I turned around. I was like, all right, well, it's a private airport. I don't have permission, but I don't have a lot of choices either. And so, heck, I'm just going to, you know, I didn't think much of it. I wasn't, like, concerned. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go back and land. So it was, as I recall, pretty much a straight in at that point in time. I think I was landing south, southeast, southwest. And so I came in, and I was on short final. At short final, when I started noticing that this is not a normal airport, and it was not abandoned. As I was on short final, I noticed on the left-hand side of the runway a row of a couple of dozen Crown Vic police cars. And that was my first indication of, oh my goodness, what am I about to get into? It's like these cars lined up and left. I mean, it wasn't like their lights were on or flashing, but there were police cars lined up. Mm-hmm. And then I looked to the left of that and I saw two police helicopters sitting on their pads. And I did have a sense of, maybe I should just go around, but I thought, well, go around to where, right? To worsening situation. I was like, nah, I gotta land. I have to confess. I have to just face whatever I'm about to face here. So, you know, I had a pretty decent landing. After I landed, I didn't taxi off the runway. I just kind of sat there because I was like, oh, this place is just gigantic. I mean, there were DC-3s sitting about a mile away next to some huge hangars. I had no idea what those were all about. So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, where do I go now? And I was like, well, I guess I'll go to where the police helicopters are, right? I mean, this is evidently some sort of a police something airport.
Right.
So I taxi over, I shut down, and, you know, thankfully there's nobody in the police cars, but there were two people sitting in both helicopters. And I was like, so, you know, I get out and I'm like tail between my legs. I slowly walked up to one of the helicopters. The guy, you know, the police officer sitting there, and he's like kind of like towering above me in this helicopter. Right. And I'm looking up to him. And before I had a chance to say anything, he said, "Scud running, huh?" And I was like, I said, "Hey, not intentionally. It wasn't not when I took off." And he, you know, he sort of busted my chops for a while. And then he was like, I'm just kidding. You know, it's okay. You're welcome here. You made the right decision landing here." And I was like, "What is this place?" And he said, "We're the Lee County Sheriff's Office Search and Rescue Helicopter Unit." And I was like, what's that? And I'll never forget the statement that he said after that. He said, "Our mission is to go find pilots like you after you go missing."
Yeah,
and I was like,
so
wow.
Thanks for making our job so much
easier
today.
Right,
that's
exactly right. He's like, "You are the reason that we are here." And I was like, "Well, thankfully, I'm not. I mean, I made a decision that even though I was very concerned about it, about landing at an airport that I didn't have permission to land at. That's a decision I had to make, right? As PIC, the safety of flight, and even if I got in trouble, it was the right decision for me and my, you know."
It was a perfect example of aeronautical decision making.
Yeah.
You know, make the best of the situation. I'd rather have you landing on a private airport and have to, you know, explain yourself to somebody later than setting it down in the middle of a road, possibly endangering people, but still better than flying into those towers at Babcock Ranch, because, you know, you'd take out our TV and you probably would hurt yourself.
Right.
Yeah. So things got quickly better. He invited me in to see their station where all their weather systems, they gave me a weather briefing. They said I could stay there until the weather improved, which was only like 45 minutes. And then he's like, mm-hmm. Okay,
Florida.
The weather's good enough. Yeah. When you go forward 10 miles, north 10 miles, we predict it's going to be bright sunlight. And I took off and it was exactly as he said. So I guess this is a very transitory kind of weather pattern that you're used to in that particular area. Mm-hmm. Definitely a swampy area north of Buckingham Airport.
Right. But, yeah. But I mean, you said you had four flight on an iPad, so... So when you got into that situation, you're looking for a place to land, did it not tell you, like, okay, that's Buckingham, and you could land here, and here's the Unicom number or something like that?
As I recall, so it had no information, like no information.
Yeah.
It said nothing about an FBO, nothing.
Well, there isn't. There right. is no FBO exactly. here. We have no services, but it is, you know, 22-9. It's an uncontrolled field. It is private. But it's ironic. It's a publicly owned but private use airport.
Oh, it's publicly owned. Okay.
Yeah, it's owned by the Lee County Mosquito Control District, which mm-hmm. explains the DC-3s and the other fleet of helicopters and a couple of King Airs down there.
Right.
They make it livable for us here in Florida by making it miserable for the mosquitoes to survive.
Gotcha. That's awesome. So, mm-hmm. yeah, so there wasn't a whole lot of information. And I probably was calling on 122.9, but I don't recall getting any responses. Certainly nobody said anything back to me as I was coming in.
Well, now you have Dennis's cell phone number. So.
Yeah, exactly. That's perfect. Hopefully this doesn't happen to me again. But if it does, I know a really long, wide runway I can land at.
Yes.
Yeah, or you can, you know, if it's a crosswind, you can even land sideways, I bet.
Yeah, well, probably so. That is. I remember when we were flying, I couldn't believe how massive that runway is. And it's so great for someone like me trying to learn how to fly a plane, because it's like, even I can land on this thing. Because what are the dimensions again exactly, Dennis?
It's about 4,400 by 400.
Yeah.
So it's a reasonably sized airport. The weird thing, though, is finding it at night, because the runway lights are all the way out at that 400 foot wide. So
oh,
you're
wow.
looking for a narrow, skinny strip of lights. No, you don't find it. That you got this great big wide lit thing, and it's really cumbersome and hard to find, but you know, it's our home. We love it.
Yeah.
And there's actually a couple of air parks, one on the east side and a larger one on the west side. There's about 60-70 homes here with access to the runway from our streets. We just park the airplanes in our garage and drive down the road. Greg's gotten to do that a couple of times with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a neat little piece of land here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He's got a good spot.
Hospitality.
Next time you'll have to go when you're not feeling so anxious. You know what I mean?
That's right. When it's a nice sunny day.
And that's in the latest issue of AOPA Pilot?
April 2026 issue. That's correct.
All right. And do you have other stories like that you're planning to share over the next year or so? Hopefully that's one of a few, I would hope.
Well, I've been flying since 1988, and
you too.
I have to admit, because I've admitted to AOPA members in the magazines many times over these last 7 years, I have a number of these types of situations, not exactly like this, but if you fly enough, you're going to get into situations where unexpected things happen, and I've always been very free to share good decisions and bad decisions that I've made. So I actually, there are a number of these stories that I've already written, and happily a decreasing number of stories that I have yet to write.
Well, there you go. All the ones you've written so far or have happened to you have turned out well, because you're here with us today. So
that's right.
That's a win.
I'm a safer, wiser pilot for it.
And the moral of this story is to make fun, make sure you're special friends with people with air parks and runways. Is that it, Dennis?
If it looks bad, go ahead and land at the first available airport. Don't push the bad situation.
Okay, even
if you don't have permission to land there, you know, ask for forgiveness later. It's a lot easier.
Yeah.
And even before you take off, if the conditions are marginal, have a backup.
Words of wisdom from Colin Stagnito from AOPA. Colin, thank you so much.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Dennis.
We got more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.